And people are, I mean, happier that are able to give. I mean, it's been proven through lots of different studies. And so I think it's a great way to bring the family together.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Welcome into the Retirement Cafe. Today on the podcast, we're going to discuss creating a charitable giving strategy. You know, we're starting the new year, so this seems like a very good topic to tackle. So I'm excited about this one, guys. Welcome in. New year. You guys pretty excited about what's to come?
Oh, yeah. 2022. Come on down.
Yeah.
It's got to be better than 2020 and 2021, right?
Got to be better. I hope so.
I'm just glad that 2021 seemed to go by pretty quickly. Yeah. So let's hope 2022 is really... remember beginning of 2021, everybody's like, goodbye 2020, right. It's going to be all new, and then we kind of had a lot of the same.
Yeah.
Hopefully this time there's a little bigger change for 2022.
Put COVID in the rearview mirror.
Yes.
Yeah,
COVID.
Yeah.
I think we all want to get there, and hopefully this year that will happen. But we hope you're doing well, and we appreciate you joining us on the podcast, and hope you enjoy the holiday season, and looking forward to a great new year, and looking forward to our conversation today. And I'll remind you, too, you can find us online, averywealth.com. That's where you'll find Avery Wealth and everything they have to offer there. But today we're talking about charitable giving and creating a strategy. Guys, can you tell me, what type of interest do you actually see from your clients around this topic? Are they very interested in creating a giving strategy?
Yeah, I think we're definitely seeing more interest. One of the things, and this is just my own philosophy or theory on it, is 401ks have been around longer, quite a while now. And we're just seeing a lot of people that have been good savers for a long time. And they're finding that, they actually have more than what they need for their own needs in retirement. And so it's becoming more and more common to talk about, hey, what can we do, to make an impact? So I think that's pretty cool. And
you see that in the news, this transfer of wealth that's going to occur or is occurring. And I think a lot of people are juggling with that, you know, like how much do I want to leave to my kids? What else can I do with this? I mean, this is a great topic for people in that spot.
Yeah, there's definitely people that are looking and saying, hey, I don't want to leave that much to my kids.
Yeah.
And, it's just interesting, the whole thing, right? It used to be a lot simpler because most people didn't really have that much in retirement savings. It was more pension, Social Security, some money in the bank. And, it worked fine for that era, but it wasn't like there was all this stuff to leave, outside of the ultra wealthy.
Your pension's gone when you're gone, Social Security the same way. And now when you have the 401k and if you've been a good investor and you've, been smart with your money, you're going to have some money left over.
Yeah. So it's good to talk about.
All right, well, let's start out with the basics then. How would you actually define a charitable giving strategy?
I think that's a good thing to start with because it's like anything, right? When you start thinking about it, if you don't put some thought into it as far as what you really want to accomplish and what you want to do, it's pretty hard to be efficient at it.
Yeah. I mean, plan your work and work your plan, right? I mean,
yeah.
We hear that all the time, and this is no different than mm-hmm. that. You need to make sure that you have a strategy that considers a few different things.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you want to think about what are charities that you're interested in giving to. That's number one, right? And kind of understanding like how much do you want to give to them? How about when?
Right? That's a really important question we're going to talk about.
Yeah. When do you want to give it to them? And what types of things do you want to give to them?
Right.
Cash, investments, we'll get into all that stuff. But when you think about a strategy, it's really thinking, really brainstorming out, what do I want to try to do over my lifetime as far as, transferring some of my wealth that I've accumulated to charities that are important to me.
Yeah. And I mean, we talk about retirement planning a lot on here, and we don't know, obviously, exactly what it's going to look mm-hmm. like, right? And this is no different. You don't have to have the exact details, but we just want to start to think about those things. And start to put together a plan that's going to help you achieve that.
Yeah, you have to start somewhere. I think sometimes people are like, well, I don't know exactly what I want to do. Well, it's kind of like, I've got a 17-year-old that, just got accepted to Michigan State, kind of proud dad moment. But, we've talked about that. When you go to school your first year, most people don't know exactly what you want to do. You might be like, oh, I want something in business. But that's the same thing with the charitable giving strategy. And I think it's important to understand, you don't have to know exactly, right?
Right.
It's brainstorming.
Yeah.
And I like to think of it visually too. Like I think of a timeline. I think it's helpful for people to say like, hey, here, you know, I'm this age today, you know, throughout the rest of my life, you know, I'd like to start thinking about maybe some landmarks of what I might want to give and at what times and all those sorts of things. But it's just, it's getting started like a lot of things with financial planning.
Well, we're going to go through all of this today, and let's start off with the foundational issues. What are some of these things we should be thinking about when it comes to giving?
Yeah, one thing that, you know, just to start off is like public charities versus private charities, right? A lot of the stuff that we talk about does end up being around like the typical 501c3 qualified charities, because a lot of the things from a tax perspective, which we're going to get into and things, that's necessary, yeah. Right? There's some limitations if it's not a, quote, you know, qualified public charity.
Yeah. And then you want to think about, and we alluded to this a little bit, the timing of the gift. So is this something that is in the future? Is mm-hmm. it something right now? Is it something that's going to continue to go on throughout the years? So you want to start thinking about that part of it.
Yeah. And I think another big thing is when you think about starting to put together a plan, one thing that I think everybody's experienced is sometimes the future is not what you think it's going to be. And this applies too to charities that you may support, where things change for certain charities, right? So you want to be flexible. So when you think about building a charitable plan, flexibility, I believe, is really important, because it could be the fact that you thought you were going to give a certain amount. Maybe markets were really good and you have more to give.
Right.
Or maybe, I loved, you know, charity XYZ, and then all of a sudden some things change. You're like, I don't love them anymore. So you don't want to get tied in too much, right, to a certain plan and not have flexibility.
Right. And so, and that kind of goes along with verifying the validity of a charity, right? That could yeah. change over time. The administration costs can obviously change. And so that all goes into what you were just talking about in you know, when you're considering these things.
Yeah, you want to know too, like how another foundational thing is, if you give to a certain charity, how are they going to use your gift, right? And we're going to talk more about that, but you know, you do want to understand that. And another thing, like with charitable strategies, do you want this to only be there when you're alive, or do you want that to continue maybe longer and kind of like have a family charitable plan, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. Some things to think about there. So let's talk about the cash flow then. Are there issues that some people have to actually have the money to give to a greater capacity?
Yeah, I think first and foremost here, you just have to understand what can you afford to give, right? I mean, that's a key part of it. And that goes into your overall retirement plan, is just making sure that you understand the impact of your own plan on giving to charity.
Yeah, capacity is huge. I think that's a great place to start, because sometimes it's more than what people realize. And sometimes it's like, hey, that would be great, but that could affect your actual plan for your own expenses and things. So you got to really understand that within the grand scope of your overall planning. One thing I always really encourage people to think about is, what's your income stream look like? Is there some major fluctuations? Are you at a high point in earning where you have a lot of extra money? Or, you know, how does that look? And I go back to, I hate to keep harping on my timeline, but I'm a visual person, and I like to even look at it on a timeline. Hey, from today until this year, I'm going to kind of, maybe I'm still working, I have really high income, more than what I need. You know, when that drops off, I want to still give to charity. Am right. I going to have less income, right?
Right. And so that's critically important, not only from a capacity issue, but that's a huge impact on your taxes.
Yes. Right?
So that's why that is so very important, is understanding, you know, how is your income today versus what you anticipate it to be in the future?
Yeah, because there are some strategies where you could actually pre-fund, if you will, your giving. Mm-hmm. So I've got this really high income, I'm going to pre-fund and put money away and get a tax deduction for doing that when your income's high, and kind of set it in a bucket to be able to distribute down the road, which is kind of a neat thing to be able to do for a lot of people. One thing that we always like to talk about too is, are you considering substantial gifts? And what we mean by that is that, hey, we're going to do, you know, a lot of times we think about charitable giving, we're thinking, oh, I give this much to my church each year, or the Humane Society, or whatever it might be, right? But sometimes that's not the case, right, Brent?
Yeah, sometimes you may give a large sum of money, or there's different ways to go about this. And so we want to see where that is, because there's different strategies that we can utilize then if we're going to give a large lump sum to
yeah.
a charity.
Yeah, and I think that's good to talk about for a minute when you think about cash flow issues, because one thing you'll see, and I'll give a simple example. Let's say you have a family that had rental properties over a long period of time, right? And they had built these things up for 30, 40 years, had bought them over time, had rented them. They're all paid for, but they also had depreciated them each year. So they decided, hey, I don't want to be in the rental business anymore, right? So what would happen, Brent, if they're like, I'm just going to sell all these things?
Well, if you've depreciated that, then you really have no what we would call basis in that asset. And so when you sell it, you could have a really big tax bill mm-hmm. that could hit you all at once.
Yeah, so that would probably not be optimal, right? Because you sell it and say these things are worth $1 million, but by the time you pay your taxes, you only have 600 or whatever. I'm just throwing a number out. Well, one of the things that can be really kind of a neat strategy is you could actually put those in a charitable trust and sell them there, and you wouldn't have any tax bill then. And there are ways to structure income out of those, right, for your life. And then when you pass away, that those assets go on to the charity of your choice, which can be really a huge advantage, right?
Yeah, so you can create income and be charitable at the same time. So for the rest of your life, instead of having all that tax, you could just create, and maybe you could end up with more in some cases mm-hmm. than you would have even if you had just taken and paid the taxes, right? So there's ways to structure this so that you can get a stream of income while you're living or for a period of time, depending on how you structure it, and then pass that on.
Yeah, and another kind of the opposite of that, which is another way that you can structure charitable giving when you have those. A lot of times we're talking about highly appreciated assets, right, where you'd have a huge tax bill if you were going to sell them and use them in a different way. So like where Brent was just talking about getting that income throughout your life and then that, you know, go into the charity at the end, you could also give to a charity, right?
Yep.
Like throughout your life. So there could be an annual amount that went to a charity. And at the end of your life, it would go to your family, if you will, like or somebody else like that you chose. So there's lots of things you can do. If you're a listener, you probably have, you know, like a lot of organizations will even send things out where they'll say, hey, if you give us some stuff, we'll give you a payment the rest of your life, which is just a twist on that. But it's, you know, the term a lot of times would be a charitable gift annuity where you give a gift to like a university and they'll be like, hey, we'll pay you money, you know, for that gift in essence throughout your life. So lots of different ways you can approach that.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of creative strategies that you can use there. So again, reason why you're working with an advisor to find those things and the best way to deliver that money that you want to give to a charity. But beyond cash, let's talk about some of the other assets that a family might think about giving. What are some of the things to consider when determining what to include in your giving strategy?
Yeah. First one's what to give away, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to determine which assets are going to be, I mean, a lot of this comes down to tax, right?
Right.
And so it's going to come out to, should I give away retirement assets, cash, other investments that I have, or mm-hmm. real estate, or
cars, boats. Real assets. I mean, you hear like, I mean, I know everybody's kind of heard these, like donate your car, cars for kids, or all these different things, right? And so there's tons of ways you can be charitable. And so it's really understanding what do you have? Like what, and then again, it comes, like Brent was saying, it comes down to taxes many times. What would be the most efficient things to give away? So if you know I've got this nest egg and I've got this charitable strategy or charitable giving strategy that I want to give this much away at these time periods, you know, to these groups, then it's figuring out where should I pull it from.
Right.
So,
and like Dan was talking about before with his example for real estate, a lot of times that's, and keep in mind, everybody's different, mm-hmm. right? So we're not giving any advice here, but a lot of times that's a good place to start is, do I have appreciated assets that I've held for a long period of time? And that's a good place to start if you're in a higher tax bracket.
Yeah, the thing with appreciated assets, so let's take a simple example, stocks. Like let's say you've held some individual stocks for years and years and you have a very small amount that you paid for them, so they've grown to this large sum. If you were to sell them, you're going to have to pay taxes on all that gain, right? Which especially if you get into retirement, that can also create other expenses like Medicare premiums could go up, all kinds of things, right? Well, that might be a great place to start where you're like, hey, I can give that away. You get a kind of a charitable deduction for the value of the gift, and then you don't have to worry about the taxes of it.
Right.
So it's a neat way to approach it. And there are some limits on some of this stuff, just so you know. We're just talking at a high level to understand.
Yeah, because in your example, too, that maximizes the gift to the charity, right? Because if you sold those stocks and realized it and paid paid the capital gains tax, you'd have less money that you could give away.
Right.
So it's a lot of time. I mean, it sounds selfish sometimes to minimize your taxes or whatever, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. I don't consider that selfish. But if you don't think about it in that way, it may not seem, it seems like you're gaming the system or whatever. You're really not. You're maximizing a gift to a charity.
Yeah, for sure. Because it doesn't make any sense to sell it and give a smaller amount when you could have given the larger amount, right? Other things to really be aware of are non-cash assets. So like I mentioned, the cars for kids, things like that. The biggest thing with those types of gifts, and this really has to do with taxes, you have to be good with valuation, right? You want to make sure you've got a fair valuation of that item, because when you put that down on your taxes that I gave away this car.
So you can't give away your $2,000 clunker and say it was worth $20,000?
You can, but the IRS may may have a chat with you at some point that you may not like the outcome of, but that's really important, so you need to understand those. What's one of the neat things, Brent, that you could do with your IRA?
So this is where a lot of times we see these types of strategies with a lot of our clients. Is so at 70 and a half, you can give directly from your IRA to a qualified charity, and you can do up to $100,000 per year, which is pretty great.
That's per person, right?
Yes. So if you have in your account and your wife or your spouse has the same amount, you could each do $100,000.
Yeah, that's huge, because the way that works is that it comes out of the account basically tax-free. It doesn't show up as a distribution to you because you gave it directly to a charity. Now, there's rules you have to follow. The check has to be written to the charity. You can't take it out yourself and then write a check to them. That doesn't work. You do have to be 70 and a half. You can't be, oh, I turned 70 and a half this year. Before you execute it, you have to already be 70 and a half. But the thing I love about it, once you're 72 and you have required minimum distributions, that counts towards your required minimums, right?
Yes. Yep. So if you, whatever your required minimum distribution amount was, you could essentially pass that on to a charity as long as it didn't exceed the $100,000.
Yeah.
Right. And you're not paying tax on that. Right. Yep. So it's a way to control your taxes in a current year, but even in future years, because the value moving forward of that IRA is going to determine how much your RMD is going to be in the future.
Yeah. And I mean, that can make, so one of the things we see a lot when people haven't done proper planning for retirement from when they're like, you know, you really should start proper planning probably in your mid 50s to be tax efficient, to be honest. But when people haven't done that, sometimes we see this kind of this tax time bomb where all of a sudden all these required minimum distributions come out and it pushes up their income so much that all these other things start popping up.
Yeah. And their income far exceeds what their need is, right? And so that's where the real problem is, because it's forcing you to take more money than you need and pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the where the big problem lies. And so some of these strategies can really help you prevent that from happening.
Yeah. And one thing I want to mention too is that sometimes you might have like, hey, I'd love to do that, but I don't really have a charity today that I'd like to give that to. We're going to talk a little later about something called donor advised funds, which would be an option there where you could take that qualified charitable distribution out of your IRA, put it in the donor advised fund, and kind of as a placeholder, and maybe be able to give some of that money out to other charities or figure that out later, if you will. And then the last thing in this area that I always tell people, don't forget life insurance. It's a good asset for charitable giving. And sometimes people will actually buy life insurance in retirement strictly for charitable giving. They'll say, hey, I'm going to buy a life insurance policy for, you know, $100,000 or $500,000. Maybe it's a second to die, meaning it's on both the husband and wife, and it doesn't pay out till you both pass away. That's a great way if you want to leave kind of a bigger gift at the end of life, and it has some guarantee, right? You know what it's going to be versus just guessing. So
yeah, it seems like a big balancing act in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Try to make sure you're pulling from the right thing and at the right time and enough amount, you know, not too much, not too little. So it's very interesting there. And it kind of takes us to taxes, because I know that's another big part of it, is making sure you're doing it in a tax-friendly way. So we don't have to get in the weeds on the taxes necessarily. That can be maybe for another conversation, or if somebody wants to meet with you directly to really get into it. But let's speak to it at a high level a little bit, and what we should be considering with taxes here.
Yeah, I think that goes back to having a plan.
Yeah.
So the challenge with taxes in general, and that's what I was alluding to, where Brent and I were talking about, really to have a great tax plan throughout retirement, you really need to start at maybe 55 to really make sure you're doing everything possible to really minimize your long-term taxes. That's the same thing with charitable giving, right?
Yeah, yeah. You have to have this planned out. And yet like we said right at the beginning, is, you know, you plan your work and then you work your plan. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to start with a plan and making sure that you have a road to go on when it comes to this.
Yeah, because like we were talking about earlier with taxes, so looking at not only what you want to give away, but what your income is going to look like from when we start talking about it until the end of life. Because what you're really trying to do is you're trying to minimize your taxes and maximize your charitable gifts right at the same time. So like looking at, we talked a little bit ago about, you know, money out of IRAs at 70 and a half. So we know that's an option that's not available till then. We talked about maybe when you're, you know, in your 50s and maybe you're at your highest income, pre-funding some giving where it reduces your taxes then, and you have those things still available when your income's not as high to be able to give. So like all this stuff really comes into play. You have to understand what options are there, what you want to do, and what assets you have that you could give from, right?
Yeah.
In order to build it all out with the long-term goal of fulfilling that plan and minimizing taxes.
Yep. And so that sounds like a really complicated thing, and it is. I'm not going to discount that. But when Dan's referring to like a timeline, a lot of people might think, well, I don't know what my income's going to be. Well, that's part of what really good planning is, mm-hmm. is you really can see what your income is going to be down the road based on how you've saved so far and what you're anticipating to save in the future. We can get to those numbers.
Yeah, that's a great point, because that goes back to how you can't really do any planning with finances in a vacuum.
Right.
You still have to look at that 30,000 foot view of what's going on with everything and to make good decisions. So that's a good point to bring up.
That is a good point. And we've kind of gone through a number of different things to be thinking about here with this charitable giving. But what might be some other issues that listeners might not have considered?
Yeah, I think the first thing is really understanding what are called donor advised funds, because that's something that so it used to be families that really, let's call it we'll call them the super rich, because that's really who did it. They would create family foundations, right?
Yep.
So these were like, they'd manage their own charity in essence. So they'd put money in. It involves all kinds of compliance, accounting, you know, and the average person,
a lot of legal,
the average person just can't do that.
No. Well, I mean, what they would have to contribute would be eaten up by fees of paying professionals to set this up. And that's where donor advised funds are becoming more and more popular all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's because you can do a lot of this without all that legal and other costs.
Yeah, there's people that basically administer them for you. So I want to just take it at a high level. The real benefit of a donor advised fund is that you can put money into those without knowing yet necessarily what charities you want your money to go to. You just know you want to give, right?
Right. Right. So you know you have money that you want to give, so you can put it in, take the tax deduction at that current time, and then use those assets and invest them, hopefully to grow them over a long period of time to mm-hmm. benefit charities that you may not even know that that's what you're putting them in there to benefit.
Yeah, you might charities that could come up down the road. Right. You're like, hey, I want to give to this. But so you're kind of creating your own charitable fund, right, that you kind of control where the money goes to. You can fund it as it's fit throughout your life. Those charitable distributions out of your IRA at 70 and a half, you could put money in there for that. So it's kind of like this holding bin where then you can decide how you want to divvy it out, right?
Right.
And for some people, that might be, hey, I want to create one that lasts a really long time. Like we want to take out, you know, we want to continue to grow it through funding and through investment returns and like do distributions each year, kind of like a big foundation would do, right?
Right.
And I think what's neat about that is that it's a great way for some families to kind of bring your kids together, you know, and really bring everybody together to say, hey, what do we want to do with our charitable strategy? We're going to build this fund and we're going to have meetings every year and decide, you know, who are maybe some core charities that we want to give to. But then maybe each year we're going to decide on, you know, five different ones where we want to give some money to, right?
Yeah.
It's really, really pretty cool. But the other things that I think are important is planning first is a key, like we talked about. You know, like if you just kind of wing it with charitable giving, it's probably, I mean, not that it doesn't do good. It always does good to give, but it's not optimal, right?
Right. And then, of course, just like a lot of the other tax strategies and things that we have, I mean, you want to work with a qualified CPA.
Oh, yeah.
And making sure that we're doing all the right things.
Yeah.
That's critical.
Yeah. I mean, I think about the simple thing, like your income's higher right now and you want to maybe put some money in a donor advised fund, right? For the future. Well, you need to understand how much can you put in where it's going to really help you from a tax perspective. Mm-hmm. you know, you want to know what the outcome would be before you actually execute it from a tax perspective. Really important. A couple other things that came up, which I think is important when you look at about giving and you talk to people. Some people want to remain anonymous.
Yep.
And you can do that if you have a plan as to how you do it, right?
Yeah, and then we talked a little bit about this earlier, but charities, a lot of charities will allow you to restrict the gift and how it's going to be used.
Yep.
You know, so for a specific thing, which is important to some people.
Yeah, like I know our church, you can like earmark for like a building fund, mm-hmm. or you can put to general operations, you know, however you want to give. And they will respect those wishes, and they'll set money aside for those things, and they're restricted to just those activities. And that can be a way to make sure the money you're giving gets used in a way that you're comfortable with, right?
Yeah, and then Dan talked about this also a little bit earlier, is that this is a really good way to get your family involved and help pass on values that are important to you, to you know, your kids or grandchildren.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to really bring people together, because it has been shown that when you can teach kids the value of giving, it really can have a huge positive impact on them long term. And people are, I mean, happier that are able to give. I mean, it's been proven through lots of different studies. And so I think it's a great way to bring the family together.
I love it. So many things to consider. And there's a lot of that goes into this. I mean, a lot of people just think about, hey, I'm just going to donate to the charity of my choice. But, if, you know, to really put a charitable giving strategy in place, there are many different things to consider. So averywealth.com is the website to visit these guys. And if you want to call them and talk directly, it's 517-783-1695. But let's go ahead, and as we always do, just try to kind of quickly summarize the conversation today for everyone before we get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is charitable giving, it's obviously become really important. It's always been important to people, but I think more people now can do substantial giving than ever before due to just building some pretty substantial nest eggs over their lifetimes. And really understanding their options is critical to creating a sound strategy. So really, you know, partnering with good certified financial planners, CPAs, attorneys can make a huge difference. And it all starts with what you really want to do. Like, don't worry about like all the specifics. Think about what would I like to do in a perfect world if I had that opportunity, and then see how your resources and things play out to be able to accomplish that. Involve your family. It can be a really positive as a family affair. And sometimes you can make a much bigger difference than you ever imagined when you start leveraging things and understanding options. And you can do it in a way that takes away some of the fear, because I think sometimes that does stop people from giving because they're afraid, because they don't know what their capacity to give is. So they're like, well, I'd like to give, but I don't really know if I could, and I don't want to end up eating cat food down the road. So all good things to think about.
Well, great conversation, guys, and really thanks for taking us through all this. I think many people don't realize what all goes into it, and maybe this opened their eyes to some things and opened their mind to some things they need to be thinking about with their charitable giving. But hopefully it's something that you're strongly considering, because it does make a big difference for a lot of people when you're able to give back. So an important topic, and one that I'm glad we covered today on the Retirement Cafe. If you haven't subscribed to the show, please do so. You'll find us on every major podcasting platform. You'll also find the episodes online at averywealth.com. Guys, thanks again for the time today. I enjoyed it as always. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, it sounds good. Thanks, Ben.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.